All right, yeah, we'll be in touch. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the debrief here with the great comedy legend Dave Thornton. Say hello, Dave.
Oh, mate, it is a pleasure to be sitting in a strange car park behind the, what, the Grand?
The Grand View.
Oh, the Grand View. Like, you know, two grown men in a car park at, what, 10 o'clock on a Wednesday?
Well, I normally drive people home because you've got your Vespa. So I can't get on the back of the Vespa.
Mate, you were shocked and appalled that I rather think, yeah, mate, the Vesperados.
Well, you know the only other person I know in showbiz with a Vespa is John Fane.
Is that
the
right?
The Melbourne ABC announced. Yeah, he's got a Vespa. Well, he's got some sort of scooter.
But I'm sure it runs off, what, like corn syrup and solar power or whatever the hell he's doing. Mate, this is it's my partner's Vespa.
And then, oh, it's Nikki's Vespa.
And when it's hot, and I just smash it around to gigs because it's just, you just park out the front.
So does she still ride it?
Yeah.
With a baby? Or?
No, not with a baby.
No. She's a bit like my, she'd be very safety conscious, wouldn't she?
Mate, exactly. So, yeah, I fang it around, mate. It's like Uber Eats with jokes, mate. And just drop it off.
Have you ridden motorbikes before?
Nah.
Wow.
Yeah. We got our license, it was before Freddie turned up, so like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And mate, it's sick. It just cuts through traffic.
Yeah, I know. One of the mums at school's got one who's an accountant, and I said, "Is that how you get to work every day?" She's like, "Yeah." But I'd be worried about coming off a Vespa.
Mate, I'm a fair weather rider, like 100%.
Yeah, but not there's people like me on the road. You know what I mean? Like,
who's just?
Have you got chalk on your knees? Look how white the glove box is because you're so tall. Is it?
Well, I've just scuffed it. You think?
Do you reckon that's you scuffed it? Or is it my kids?
Mate, that is not me. This looks like there was a criminal case and they've left powder
trying
to
fingerprint. It looks like my car's been fingerprinted. Or maybe I've never seen it in like light before.
What is going?
That's really weird.
What is going on?
I've got the interior light on. Should we turn it off?
This is like a CSI case.
Oh, that's even worse.
Oh, God. Mate, you can't be two grown men in the dark in a car park. That's disgusting.
Oh, fucking hell.
You know that actually happened. A mate of mine, you know, when you go backpacking in your early 20s.
I didn't, but anyway, I know. I went with my partner.
Did you?
Me and Kieran went to, you and my wife have a bond because you both went to Belmont High in Geelong.
Mate, of course.
In the G-Town.
Of course you know the high school.
Of course I know. That's my area of expertise. You ask me any comedian what school they went to, I'll tell you. Go on.
Okay.
On. Don't go too hard. Don't go New South Wales on me.
Well, I was going to throw you under the bus and say Jamoan, but then he's
I wouldn't know. So I know he's from Derry, but he's not actually from Derry.
Okay,
he's from
Will Anderson.
Yeah, he went to Gippsland Grammar.
Is he a grammar?
Yeah, he's private school. He his parents were farmers, so it's not unusual. Like similar to, there's quite a, I don't think he was a boarder, but there's quite a lot of them that are farmers' kids, like Limo, Gleeson, Des Dowling, Nick Kappa. A lot of most of them went to boarding schools.
Yeah, of course.
But farmers do that. Farmers send their kids to. A lot of them send their kids to quite posh schools. I don't know why.
Sweet agricultural money. But then also, like you said, they're boarders. Like they know.
Yeah, they're boarding.
Yeah. Actually, I like this. Now we can start pilfering. I want to know your knowledge.
Well, it's not a great. I can't go on Mastermind or Tom Gleason's Hard Quiz, my area of expertise. What schools did comedians go to? It's no good.
Well, what about Hizzy?
Oh, yeah, no. He went to the CBC in Warrnambool. He went to a Catholic school in Warrnambool.
Oh, did he?
But see, those Catholic schools, especially when he went, like, you know, they're not, they're big supporters of poor people, those schools. So you've got your expensive Catholic schools, like the ones that, you know, Tony Abbott and Bill Short went to in their cities, but where Hughesy went is similar to the school where Denise Scott went, which she went to one in Greensboro, Our Ladies, whatever it's called.
Yeah.
So they went to, these Catholic schools were like government schools, basically, just for with a cross on the wall.
Yeah, okay.
You know what I mean? Because, you know, the Catholics support poor people.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah, the Mix love a bit of that.
Yeah, they love it. Yeah, and there's a lot, you know, anyway, look, enough about schools. what am I great area? Yeah, mate, great area of expertise.
I just love it, watching you on stage, just tearing someone apart as they, what suburb did you go up in?
You'll know the
nightclub, right?
Exactly. And, you know, I once did a Bucks night and they're all Melbourne Grammar boys and I just kept hanging on this guy and the guy actually said, "Is this all you've got?" And I went, "Yeah, basically, mate. That's it." I said, "I can't think of anything else.
This is all you've got.
Is that all you got, mate?" "Yeah, that's about it, buddy."
Yeah.
Anyway,
And good your one. High fees.
Melbourne
and,
Grammar.
Yeah,
good, yeah, good one. So you just, you've been trying new stuff out for the festivals next year. That's why you're at the Grandview Hotel on a Wednesday night.
Mate, I just had the trial show.
Yep.
Because Token have a little theatre thing. They call it a theatre.
What's Token? I don't know what that is. No, that's a management company. They manage a lot of the big comedians like Dave Thornton, Dave Hughes, Dave O'Neill. Now, hang on with Creative Rep, which is... that's the subsidiary, is it? What is it? Anyway, it's part of Token.
It is part of Token.
Yeah.
Because that got bought... Weren't you Liz Adams?
I was with Liz Adams. Yeah, let's go into management details. I was with Liz Adams management and she got... I don't know. She merged with Token. That's right.
Yeah.
She rang me to tell me at the pub. And she goes, "Oh, who?" I was at the pub. She goes, "Where are you? I've got some big news." I'm like, "I'm at the pub." She goes, "Who with?" "Oh, I'm with some comics." She goes, "Oh, I might ring you back." Because she knew I'd just get off the phone and go, "What? My manager's just merged."
Anyway. Yeah, right.
But they Token are basically the biggest management company for comedy in Australia. And the biggest and the best, Dave.
Some would say.
And so you did your trial show. They've got a little theatre there, haven't they?
They've got a little theatre there. So we probably had about 40 people. Maybe.
That's enough.
And that's enough. So then Tommy Little got up, did half an hour, and then I did half an hour.
Yeah.
And then I vespered my way over here to the Grandview so that I actually did about 10 minutes of the tightest shit, the shit that I didn't want to stink your room up because it was packed out with Jamoan fans.
Jamoan fans, yeah.
So, and you know, like, for a festival show around this time of year, like, I want to know that I've got probably 10 to 15 of bankable material, that I know is going to make it, and maybe 15 to 20 of... shit that I'm like, that could make it.
It could work on. And then just start over the 10 minutes on you, slip into your old, right? Do your best off, then come out of it with that new stuff.
Mate.
I know you're one of these comics that wants, you know, like the Louis C.K. without the masturbating in front of women.
No, you do that too. I'm masturbating right now for all the listeners.
Well, we're in a pub car park. It's the most appropriate thing to do here. And you do sort of all new, don't you, when you do a festival?
Mate, yeah. But I mean... there are moments when you'll slip a little one in.
Oh, God, yeah.
And I'm almost flattered if someone goes, "I heard that." Because
how do they remember? I can't remember what I did.
Man, I've got one DVD, and it's a DVD, and it's from 2010. So, I mean, you know, there's all that other material you've just burnt and worked through and all that.
What? Yeah, but there's also stuff on YouTube from your festival.
Oh, sure.
Spots and...
gala spots and shit. But then it's like, yeah, some bits I'm like, well, you know, yeah, you're hearing it again because it's a good bit. So, strap
in. Yeah, why not? Don't worry, just get do stuff from 4 years ago.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it might be a little incongruous now that I'm a dad.
Yeah. Hey, what's it like taking pills and getting up in nightclubs? Why? What's this guy talking about bongs for? He's like a young father.
Jeez, he slipped into that revolver shit quick.
Oh, mate, I mentioned nightclubs, which used to be my strength, and people have yelled out, "That's closed." It's not called that anymore.
I mean,
last time I went to a nightclub.
I did have a bit that I talk about a girlfriend coming home, and she, like... The whole premise is like she was the aggressor, like she comes down
funny.
And she forces her.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's not my current partner. You know, like it's so old, it was girlfriends before that. And she even goes, "You're not rolling that out and blaming it on me still."
Oh, really?
Because like it's gone from that girl came to my apartment, now it's my wife finally had a night out with her friends. You know, it's just progressed.
Yeah. But that's good because you've changed material more to the story of a young mum going out and having a night out. Well, that's all right.
You can always find a way, mate.
But also, how often would your wife see you do stand-up now anyway?
Mate,
hardly ever.
So she came to the opening of the Melbourne show last year.
Oh, why the opening?
So she came with my daughter. So my daughter at the time was like...
What?
3 months old.
So someone brought a baby to your show. Did you bag him out?
who was that shithead? Call Child Protective Services. But the thing is, I could see her in the back of the room bobbing up and down to try and keep...
Yeah. Did you talk about that on stage?
No, because to be honest, it was a shit gig.
Oh.
It didn't go that well. And then we get in the cab and we're heading home and I said, "What did you think?" She goes, "Well, I didn't laugh out loud."
Oh.
I said, "Is that your initial reaction?" That was the first thing you said to me.
But she's just had a baby, mate.
Well, that's it. And she was just locked into the kid.
My partner used to come all the time. She comes and sees me now once a year at the school benefit.
Yeah.
And she came, the last time she came, someone was texting me a lot when I was on stage. I'm like, "What the fuck's going on?" I had a look and I said, "You're swearing too much." She was texting me while I was on stage.
Mind you, I've seen you do that. And I love this. When you do spots, especially like at festivals when we're doing late night shows, you'll set your alarm.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then it goes to 8 minutes, and yeah. I'm backstage, and I can hear it buzzing your pocket, yeah. And you're like, see you, mate.
Yeah, yeah, but also doing corporate, which I know you do a lot of. if I go to a function and it looks like hard work, and they go, you've got to do 20 minutes, I'll put my alarm on at 19, sometimes 18, and just, is that guy going to back into us? Is he offended by us? Does he know the yes vote went through? Come on. he seems to be like backing into us, that bloke. God, at least we're here if he bangs into us.
This doesn't bode well for the Jamoan gig. Someone's already fucked up.
Yeah, I know, they've left. No, they're from the pub. They're from the bar, probably. Anyway, what was I saying? I can't remember.
Corporates, you'll set your alarm.
I'll set my alarm, yeah. So then if it's tough going and it goes off at 18, I just go, anyway, see you later. Thanks a lot. It's been great.
Jeez.
Yeah, put it in your pocket and let it vibrate. Well, what's the point of staying up there if it's no fun?
Mate, you know? 100%. I've had some brutal... I've been hosting corporates now this month. They've been brutal.
Yeah, as it gets... as I was saying, I went to a relative's function and my brother-in-law said, you got a lot of Christmas parties coming up? And I went, yeah, but there's a few... I look at a few dates in my diary and I feel a bit sick. Like the one I've got to do for guys that drive tankers and they're getting off a boat and going to a pub. And I've got to entertain them. Or the crane drivers pub night.
Oh, it's the worst, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. So you just go. Oh, but you just get through it. But also, that can be awesome. That can be great,
mate. That is true. I did one of a whole room full of truckers, and I thought, I don't know which way this is going to go.
I just did truckers. Truckers but are good.
Once I started hanging shit on the venue, and they were just like, "Yep, yeah, great." Like it's always funny because they'll go, you know, you get your corporate kind
speak.
Of
speak,
don't swear,
yeah.
Don't make sure, you know, what I do love is no racist or sexist material.
Yeah, which, yeah.
So it takes a lot of money.
I know, I do a lot of that stuff. I did the Soccer Federation and the guy said, yeah, we had a bad experience with the comic. He was quite sexist and racist and said Fungula to the crowd. We don't want any sexist or racist. I said, I don't have any racist stuff. He goes, but do you talk about your wife? I went, oh, yeah, I do. Yeah, maybe I do that. So I get there, and it's like 400 blokes in a reception centre in Sunshine in the western suburbs of Melbourne. And I just did my normal act. I just went, oh, well, whatever. Don't worry about it. Any lesbians in?
Yeah.
It was fine.
Jeez.
Oh, man.
You know the one that always haunts me? Have I ever told you this story where, because I used to do gigs with Troy Kinney and Tom Segan?
Yeah, yeah. What were you called? You were called...
Ear candy, mate.
Ear candy, that's right. You should do footy clubs.
And we did Kooi Rup. And I remember a booking agent got us this gig. We turned up. We just used to rotate our orders. So then Kinney went on first this time. He got nothing.
Yeah.
And then a band played for, and I'm not even kidding, like an hour and a half.
Oh, no.
So then Seagat gets up, Tom Seagat, at 10:30. Same thing, doesn't get anything. They go on for an hour. Now, I'm about to go on stage at close to midnight. Now, I've also seen the senior coach was drinking with some of the under-16s out front.
Oh, great.
I'm like, this is not going well. And it wasn't attended that well, so they're furious they're losing money. I get up, and if you remember back in those days, Dave, I used to have a little thing in my back pocket where I did the Dave Hughes impersonation.
Yes.
Now, I rip that out at the top. It gets nothing. So Hughesy dies. And I just said, don't worry about it, guys. Thanks for having me on mine. So I pulled it. It's one of the only gigs I've ever pulled. They come backstage and this guy brings this like mongo of a dude. Like this dude is like about 6'6" and he's about 120 kilograms. And the guy goes, what the fuck was that? I'm like, mate, you don't have to pay me. Don't worry about it. And we got paid $300 each, but the booking agent charged double.
Oh, no.
So he charged them $1,800. And I'm like, and he goes, what about the other money? And I'm like, I don't know what to do. And then they honestly, he brought the rest of the footy club in. He's like, we're about to kick this shit out of here.
What?
Now, Tom, to his credit, was like, you know, just calming things down. Yeah. Kinney wanted to have a crack.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then they said, you guys have to leave now. We're going to kick this shit out of here. And they marched us out the back. And we got in the car. We didn't say a word, but, you know. 10K's down the road, we fucking gave it to him, mate.
Yeah.
We really pummeled him.
When you're inexperienced, so you wouldn't go on after the band now. You'd insist on going before the band.
Well, we would have just said, put us all on in one hit.
Yeah, one hit. Yeah, and do 20 each and then get off.
But they put on, and these guys, when the band got on, like they were just playing the old classics and everyone was getting up and having a mosey. And it was like we were just in the way of fun.
Yeah,
it was
the
worst.
You should go back, man. Kooi Rup, make a return.
Oh, yeah.
Kooi Rup. I'll come with you.
Mate, I still have a visceral reaction to it. Like, if I'm going down a Mornington Peninsula, I'm just like, oh, fuck, cooey up. Like, it makes me just viscerally react.
Yeah. Yeah, I know what you mean. I did the Layla Footy Club, the famous incident where I insulted... I did a joke about Lance Whitnell. His mother was in the crowd. In fact, she was the only woman in the crowd, and she came through the crowd. It parted like Moses in the water with her tongs with fat dripping off them from the dim sim she'd been frying. And Lance Whitnell's mother, who was a big Carlton man, a big fat guy, and she said, "Don't come to my club and hang shit on my fucking son." I was just like...
Did she?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was a true story. And so then it was just like... you couldn't come back from it. It was just... Yeah, it was like death on a stick. And the president got up and went, "Round of applause for the comedian." Fuck, he was not very good, was he?
Mate, that's the worst, isn't it?
I thought I was going to get killed in the car park. You're listening to The Debrief. Dave Thornton's with me. Hey, this episode of The Debrief is brought to you by Sheba. It's a great rideshare app where all the drivers are women. That's right, every single driver is a woman. So set up your account by downloading the Apple or Android app, and multiple users can use the one account. Enjoy the one account. And also, this is a great idea for dads like myself. You can set up an account for your daughters. Corporate accounts are available too. Sheba also takes booking. It's female-only driving service. Well, you're back on The Debrief here with Dave O'Neill, and we've moved from my car into the room behind the Grandview Hotel. Dave Thornton's with me.
Sitting on some Chesterfields, mate. We're doing all right.
We are, and Jermaine's on stage. You might hear him in the background. Normally, it was just too hot in my car. We were sitting there. It was like roasting. It's roasting in Melbourne. Now, I've got these questions.
Is this a Bikram podcast?
Yeah. What went well tonight, David, and why?
Well, a lot of... Are you talking about the trial show?
Anything.
Mate, I kicked this set off now by talking about my mum buying a new mobile phone.
Yeah, people love that here.
They love it. And that actually went almost the best because you're...
Born into middle age. Older, yeah.
And so they get it. Mind you, it usually goes pretty well. I mean, the old, you know, it's a pretty well-done trope of, you know, technology is just in the hands
mate,
of idiots.
Mate, I don't want to even hear that talk like that. You're doing it differently. It's not, you know...
Yeah.
It's a new trope as far as I'm concerned.
But I mean...
Someone's come to watch us doing the podcast... That's Clive. He's a big listener of the podcast. Big fan, that guy.
Here he is, just down from Mission Beach.
I know, he's a rig.
Dodging the tax man from Mel account.
Yeah, who knows?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that went well. What didn't go well and why, do you reckon?
Because a lot of this stuff I'd run before in clubs to kind of make sure, you know, get a gauge for it. The ones I did at the trial show, because it's a smaller audience, anything that was kind of rude or, like, I talk about my kids shitting. And it gets... They kind of recoil a bit in a small crowd.
Shock, in a shock, kind of.
In a big crowd, they can almost go, "I'm in the dark."
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you know, let's
go. But a kid pooing is kind of funny. Unlike, like, a 24-year-old that's just... Oh, this... There's obviously someone just shitting their pants on drugs or something. But a baby...
No, that's...
It's fine.
It's true. But you know, one thing actually was interesting. Because we were involved in Dave Hughes' show. Show on the weekend.
Hughesy, we have a problem.
Yeah, exactly.
I should know the title. And then, you write it. I'm writing on it.
Well,
it's going to be a big hit on Channel 10 coming up next year. Tune in.
Mate, 100%. I'll save the network. But you know, there was a joke I did on that riffing. Remember one guy talked about how he wanted to buy his wife lingerie and she wouldn't wear it?
I wasn't watching. Anyway, go
right,
on.
Right.
No, I do remember this. Yeah, yeah.
And I riffed the thing of going, "Who gives a shit? Like, who cares about lingerie?"
Oh, that's a good joke.
And I said, you know, "I'm not looking at the fence when I'm entering a house.
No, you're not looking at the gate when you're just trying to get into the house."
Yeah. And I tried it tonight in a setup. I tried to do it in a first person, you know, like, "Oh, we're trying to spruce things up." It didn't go that well.
That's interesting.
That was in the trial show.
Yeah, I like that. That's almost like a classic joke.
Yeah. And so I thought I'd give it a run. But it just... They seem to go... And I don't know beforehand, the preface leading up to it, I was always talking about having a young kid. And,
yeah.
You know, I actually set it up by... You know, Madonna, or rumour has it with her and Guy Ritchie's that she would put in the diary they have to have sex once every 6 weeks.
Yeah, right.
And initially I recoil, but now having a kid, I'm like, oh, yeah, that makes feels about
that's
right.
Pretty good. Once every 6 weeks. Lucky Guy Ritchie.
Yeah.
Lucky Madonna's.
So it kind of set up with that, and yeah, it just didn't really land. I'm not sure if it was the crowd or what.
Should have tried it here.
Yeah,
the Grandview.
Get
up there after Jermaine. Look, guys, everyone, Steiner, sit down for a minute. I know Jermaine's been fantastic, but here he is again, Dave Thornton. Just do the one joke. And were there any obstacle hazards that got in the way?
I mean,
it's hot. It was hot. Heat affects people.
It was hot, and I even said at the end of it, I was like, "Are you guys hot?" And they kind of went, "Eh," and I thought, "They are."
Yeah, I think the heat's not good for comedy.
No, it's not. Well, you know, I've seen, I saw David Letterman twice.
It's cold, isn't it?
Mate, it's like a meat locker. But it's true. Like, cold people are up and you're alert. When you're hot, you're lethargic and you're
it's
not
like
listening.
Couches at comedy gigs, like we're sitting on now.
I remember the local. I don't know if it still has it. The couch at the front.
It does.
It's the worst.
Yeah, it's hard.
But yeah, I'm trying to think some of the other material that I tried running. I've actually got a basically an interesting one of literally two crazies came up to me in two different days in Brunswick and said random shit to my face.
Oh, that's always good.
And it does get a laugh, but it's literally me just reporting back.
Oh, yeah, but that's all right.
Yeah, I sometimes feel like I'm cheating it because I'm like, this is literally...
Yeah, but you can add something on as well if you want.
Yeah, that's true.
I heard two homeless guys the other day talking and the guy said, "Have you seen Peter lately?" And he goes... The other guy goes, "No." He goes, "Fuck, mate. He looks like Beetlejuice."
And that was it?
That was it. I just thought, that's the funniest thing I've heard. Two homeless guys saying someone else looks like Beetlejuice. These guys weren't looking good themselves. Well, he looks like Beetlejuice.
Well, this happened back to back. It's honestly, this 50-year-old woman came up to me. I was about to cross the road one morning, in Brunswick where I live. And just honestly went, "I bought my son a pair of sunglasses, never wears them," and then just walked off. That just happened.
That's funny.
And then the next day, this is all true, a young guy came up to me and he's like, I was at the supermarket and he just goes, "Hey, mate." And I was like, "G'day, mate, how you going?" He goes, "What do you think about assisted suicide?" Like, he opened with that. And I went, "I don't know, mate." And I said, "Oh, I haven't really done a lot of research." He goes, "Yeah, me neither." And walks off.
Yeah, no, they're both unbalanced, but
then,
good comedy.
I mean, the tag I put on the end of that is I go, then he walked off and I thought, why doesn't he wear his sunglasses? Yeah. This is the tag I put on the back of it.
That's good.
So it seems to work.
Mate, you're working well.
It seemed to work.
You're working well. What's my last question? How can we do better next time?
No,
you can't.
I mean, yeah, I'm just now just drilling down on some bits. Isn't it so hard when you've got real stories and you've got to, you know, there's something funny about it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just making it funny, adding the jokes.
Yeah. Actually, I'd be interested to know it. This is all true. I was at work, and a young guy, he said, "How's your daughter going?" And I showed him a photo of her, and he goes, "Oh man, she's hot."
I've heard this before.
Yeah,
that's funny.
But then I said, "What?" And he said, "Cute." Oh, same thing. And I thought,
"No, it's not."
And then when I walked away, I actually thought, "Well, he's a genius because I'll never bore him with photos of my kid again."
Yeah.
But this is always the tag that I can never really land.
Yeah.
Because he used to say, that's the trick. If you want to get out of someone showing photos, just say something creepy like, "Fuck, that is a sexy kid." And it's like, everyone goes, "Ugh." Like, it's too hard for people's ears.
Yeah, so that's true.
It's like I've got to find something that's creepy enough, but not too creepy.
Or someone said to me, just stop at the bit that gets the biggest laugh and make that the tag.
Who said that?
Brad Oakes, the great comedian, said that to me. Just stop at the bit. And it worked in one routine. He goes, just stop at the bit, like there, and it's true. And then I just turned it into the tag. Yeah. Oh, man, Jermaine is killing in there.
Yeah, so that bit's one that I've really got to work on. I've got to find exactly what the right line is afterwards.
It's hard. Yeah. It's hard work, mate.
Yeah. I've just got to keep trotting it out.
Do you ever get anyone to help you, or...?
Chandler?
Carl Chandler. Been on this podcast.
He's got a good eye.
Dumb Dumb Club.
I have had Troy Kinney before. He's a great writer.
Yeah, Troy Kinney's very good. Both of you and Carl Chandler have a bit of a connection that you're both graphic designers.
Yeah, this is true.
There's very... And isn't Nick Capper a graphic designer, former...
I've heard that.
Is he qualified, though? I've seen some of his artwork.
Really? No, because I know he does. I've seen him on his computer.
He does posters.
Yeah, he does posters and stuff. You know, Rove,
he was a graphic designer.
If not that, or possibly a cartoonist. Like old Tommy Dasilo.
Dasilo. But you've actually got a degree, haven't you?
A diploma, mate. That's certificate 4. A tape.
I love it.
Mate, I used to work as a greeting card designer.
That's... Wow. Anyone that we'd know? Get well soon?
Oh, yeah, that's mine.
The classic. Happy Father's Day. Another one of yours. Yeah, happy 21st.
Yeah. You left me for some other cunt. That was one that it was. It didn't make the cut, but I thought it had.
And a bit more 2007 Happy Stepfather's Day, that kind of thing. I'm in a blended family.
Yeah.
Now we can play a song. I put a song at the end of this podcast. What I don't know what music you like. I've got no idea,
mate.
I know you're from the G town. You're from Geelong, G-banger, G-troit.
You know what? I oscillate from like.
Hang on. Can I guess?
Okay.
Do you like a bit of grunge and also a bit of hip hop?
Yes.
Yeah.
How did you know that?
Just your age group.
Yeah.
Because a guy, Mick Nevin, who'd be around your age, maybe. And how old are you?
I'm 37.
Oh, yeah, so he's four. I don't know what I would say, how old Mick. Mick, 40s? Anyway, he said grunge was like our punk. Because I'm 52, so yeah. Punk was big for us and post-punk. And he said grunge was like your generation's punk. But also hip-hop was big.
Well, it's funny, because it's like. Because when I was.
You're going to finish. Soon.
Jamal's almost wrapping up.
Okay, so yeah, go on.
Well, the thing was, because I used to surf down in Geelong, and so you'd have like Soundgarden, Pearl Jam, and those kind of things. But then you'd start moving across to like Cypress Hill, and it wasn't a fast stretch to kind of move across to that. And then you're like, oh, now I'm listening to Snoop Dogg, and you're like, how did that happen? But yeah, that was all that stuff.
Well, we can play. You know what I downloaded the other day for my kids? House of Pain, Jump Around.
Oh yeah,
that is a great song,
mate. I'm more than happy for that to occur.
Yeah, just begin the begin. Let me in, isn't it? That's how it goes.
Pack it up, back it up.
That's it.
Let me begin.
Back it up, back it up. Let me begin,
mate. That brings Dave back to circa 1997. I'd say Geelong Hotel and Eureka Hotel, both closed down since.
Oh,
Bourbon and Cokes.
Yeah,
plastic glasses, of course.
Trying to pick up a nice girl from Norlane.
Yeah.
Pack it up, tuck it in, let me begin. Jump around, jump around.
Exactly. It'd be that complemented with Rage Against the Machine and a small mosh pit that's just grating.
Oh.
While I'm jumping around in my suede jacket. Feeling like I look a million bucks.
All right, here we go. How's the pain? Thanks, Dave. You've been a legend doing this. Because it's a hot night, and you could have gone home, but you stayed around.
Mate, House of Pain. I'll enjoy it while I'm riding my Vespa.
Yeah.